Sometimes we think we know Jesus very well, don't we? We think perhaps we know him a bit better than those who lived when he did, because after all, they didn't really understand him very much. They got confused when they were listening to him so often. They didn't understand. And so we, with the benefit of 2,000 years, we know it all, don't we? And then we get a passage like this morning from Mark chapter 3. And we seem to enter a bit of a strange country, a foreign land, where we might understand the words, but we're puzzled about what it all means. There are references to the demonic, to exorcism, to the devil. These things are obviously important and real to Jesus and his contemporaries, and his opponents, it has to be said, not just to Jesus. But we tend to consign that kind of thing to medieval superstition or primitive religion and ignorance. What are we to make of that? Do we just dismiss it? Or do we need to look under the surface? I can't, in just 3 or 4 minutes here, deal with the whole thing. But it should stir us up and say, well, what is that? It's in the Bible. We take the Bible seriously. How do we understand these things? The language might be unfamiliar to us. But actually, we do know that the reality of evil in the world is endemic. You don't have to look very far. So perhaps this does have something to say to us, even today. And then again, Jesus goes on to talk about family. And that actually strikes a bit of a wobbly chord, doesn't it? A wobbly chord? What's a wobbly chord? I don't know, but you know what I mean. He talks about family. He kind of leaves his own family outside and then says to those who are around him, you're my family now. He redefines family radically and in a very challenging way. So putting aside our 21st century superior worldview, we need to take seriously what is being said and allow our preconceptions to be changed. The reaction to Jesus, of course, was to say that this is not God at work, this is the devil at work. And Jesus really deals with that quite easily in saying, you know, if it was the devil at work, why on earth is he getting rid of his own spirits out of people? That doesn't make any kind of sense. And then he says something which is really, really important. And I need to say a quick word about this, because if you take your Bible seriously, you'll be bothered by the bit that says a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That is an eternal sin. People can be forgiven for their sins, but whoever blasphemes against the Spirit, that's misused so many times in Christian circles. And some Christians are very, very worried about that. What if I've blasphemed against the Holy Spirit? I can never be forgiven again. The context tells us that Jesus is aiming this at those who cannot see what God is doing. They are so blind to what God is doing that they're saying it must be the devil. It must be Satan at work. These are religious people, and perhaps even some of his own family, who did not recognize God at work. And he's not saying that if that is the case, then you are beyond all hope. He's simply saying you can never be forgiven because you'll never know you need forgiveness. You'll never ask for it. God will never have the chance to do it. Because you're so stuck in your own ways and your own way of thinking that God will not be able to break in. And that may even be true of some of us today. Not that we're scribes. Not that we're religious toffs. Toffs? I don't know what's going on this morning. The religious elite. We're not that. But maybe we have not seen what God is wanting to do, even in our own lives, and what God is wanting to say. And if so, God cannot help us, because he will not force himself on us. He waits for us willingly to invite him in to do his work. Jesus talks about those fears that we looked at a bit earlier with Ollie. That we don't have to be afraid. When we start talking about the reality of evil and the fact that that Satan exists even as God exists, these are not two equal and opposite forces. That Satan is as evil as God is good. He can't do that. He has no power. Jesus says it's like he's been tied up in his house. The strong man is Jesus here. The strength is in him. The power of God is so much greater than all evil. And it doesn't matter what your life is like right now and how much it is affected by the consequences of evil and things that are around us. God is greater. And God is stronger. He is more powerful. The battle is laid bare, but Jesus is the victor. This is graphic language, but it's an image, a graphic image. The language is helpful for those who feel trapped. Modern examples might be addictions, debt, exploitative labour practices, human trafficking, you name it, you add to it. If you feel that you have been or are trapped in those things, believe this, Jesus is greater than those things and he will not let you down. Mark's examples of that in the next few chapters, mental and physical illness, social exclusion, economic disparity, ecological crisis, misplaced family or religious loyalties. Jesus is greater than all of those things and we can trust him. And then this little bit about family, we're nearly there. This bit about family, this is the only story that Mark tells about Jesus' family. It's not a particularly happy one. Did they stay outside because they couldn't get in? Or because they didn't want to go in? Did they really believe Jesus was out of his mind? Tragically, by seeking to restrain him, they may have missed out. At this point, although we know a little bit about one or two of them later on, so it's not an unremittingly unhappy story. But what Jesus does do, and this is very challenging, he redefines family. And we sang it earlier, Jesus taught us how to be a family. Not just our nuclear families, not just our extended families, but the family of God. Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? It's you who do the will of God. We're family. Those of us who are committed to Jesus. Are you committed to Jesus this morning? Do you belong to him? We're family. We belong here together. It's exciting, isn't it? Have a little look around at your family. Yeah. Yeah. That's what God is doing. And he's asking the question, are we on his side or not? Which side are we on? The religious leaders got it wrong. They're on the wrong side. Maybe even his own human family at this stage were kind of getting it wrong and they were on the wrong side. But the people sitting at his feet and listening and taking it all in and learning and living, they were his family. They were on his side. They recognized what God was doing and they were joining him in that work, confronting evil and injustice in the world. Whose side are you on? We're going to pray together. Boys and girls, on your sheets, there's a little prayer at the bottom in yellow. If you've got your sheet there, you'll see it at the bottom, if you've got a colour one, that is. And it's going to be on the screen as well. We're going to use this prayer. We're going to say it all together. Here we go. Jesus, we all belong together as part of your family. Help us to remember that we are your brothers and sisters. And so to think before we act about what you would like us to do. Amen.